الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير صدق الله العظيم. Respected Asatiza, Ulama Ikram, and elders and beloved brothers, undoubtedly each and every one of us feel a pain and difficulty when we experience the conditions and the halat and the circumstances that are affecting Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, affecting Palestine, and affecting our Muslim brothers and sisters in that part of the world. Now definitely, it is something that should cause pain to us. Why? Because Masjid Al-Aqsa holds a very, very high and lofty status as far as Islam goes. In the Quran and Majid, there are only two masajid that are mentioned by name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this ayat which has recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Masjid al-Haram by name, and the other masjid that is mentioned by name, the name comes, is Masjid al-Aqsa. And like that, Mufassirin mentioned that Masjid al-Aqsa comes in the Quran and Majid, either referred to directly or indirectly, or reference made to certain incidents concerning Masjid al-Aqsa, approximately 70 times in the Quran and Majid. We find that this was the masjid wherein Allah Ta'ala chose it to be that masjid wherein the journey to the heavens took place from. We know that's ayat, and we hear it many a time. There were two paths to the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One part of the journey is referred to as Isra, and the other part of the journey is referred to as Mi'raj. Mi'raj was that part of the journey wherein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the heavens and beyond. So Isra was that part of the journey wherein Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen this masjid to be that venue. In one hadith, Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that Masjid al-Aqsa was the second masjid to be built in Islam, and it was built 40 years after Masjid al-Haram. Once Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha inquired from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding Masjid al-Aqsa. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding the area around Masjid al-Aqsa. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the mafhum of the hadith that if a person is able to undertake a journey to go to Masjid al-Aqsa, then he should undertake that journey and perform salah therein. And if a person cannot undertake the journey, then he should send some money to, or he should send some oil to, for the lamp to be burned, and for the lights to be shown in Masjid al-Aqsa. It is as though he has made salah in that masjid. In another hadith, it is mentioned that a person who ties his ihram at Masjid al-Aqsa, and thereafter he makes niyyah for Hajj or Umrah, then either his gunas, his sins are forgiven, or he is guaranteed Jannah. So we find that Masjid al-Aqsa has a lot of high maqam and status, and time and again, reference is made In the Quran Majid regarding Masjid al-Aqsa, you find on the one hand the Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was the venue, or this was the place where Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before Mi'raj, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Masjid al-Aqsa, where the Isra took place. Now, regarding the Mi'raj that took place, this was after Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced hardship and difficulty. The year prior to Mi'raj was known as Amul Huzn, the year of grief, the year of sorrow. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through a lot of hardship in his life prior to Mi'raj. Amongst them was the boycott in the valley of Abu Talib. Together with that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the boycott, lost close family members and close confidants. Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beloved uncle Abu Talib, was a great, despite not accepting Islam, was a great pillar of support for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he also passed away after that. And thereafter the journey to Taif took place, which was also a very, very difficult journey. So after all these hardships that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used Masjid al-Aqsa for Isra, wherein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a form of comfort, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken to Masjid al-Aqsa and thereafter to the heavens. And we find even other Anbiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after they experience hardship and difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to the land, the blessed land, the land of barakah. When the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned, and after Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the entire incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam, wherein he was thrown into the fire, and thereafter Allah Ta'ala mentions that قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَرَادُوا بِكَيْدًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَخْسَرِينَ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That Allah Ta'ala says that after Ibrahim alayhi salam, the entire incident was mentioned, that we saved him, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ, we saved Ibrahim alayhi salam, and we made him seek refuge, and we saved him to an area, a land which we had blessed upon. So reference is made to Sham, Masjid al-Aqsa, the blessed land. Ibrahim alayhi salam was taken there. And also, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا, Allah Ta'ala also took Lut alayhi salam and saved him. Now, friends and elders, on this point, we would like to mention the nation of Lut alayhi salam. They had caused a lot of harm to the Nabi of Allah, Lut alayhi salam. His nation, Quran refers to them as the Qawm Lut, the nation of Lut alayhi salam. They lived in an area of Sodom, and they had become very, very immoral. Many places in the Quran and Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about their immoral act. أَتَأْتُونَ الذُّكْرَانَ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ وَتَذَرُونَ مَا خَلَقَ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ عَادُونَ قَالُوا مَا لَنَا فِي بَنَاتِكَ مِنْ حَقٍّ وَإِنَّكَ لَتَعْلَمُ مَا نُرِيدُ. They had become immoral and they had adopted their own gender as their partners in life. So such a despicable act they had resorted towards. And they earned the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent. After becoming involved in this evil and despicable act, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, that فَأَخَذَتُمُ الصَّيْحَةُ مُشْرِكِينَ فَجَعَلْنَا عَالِهَا سَافِلَهَا وَأَمْتَرْنَا عَلِيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِنْ سِجِّينَ. When other Anbiya, when their nations were punished, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent one punishment upon them. فَمِنُمْ مَنْ أَخَذَتُ الصَّيْحَةُ وَمِنُمْ خَسَفْنَا بِالْأَرْضِ وَمِنُمْ مَنْ أَغْرَقْنَا. Different azabs befell different nations. But this nation of Lut alayhi salam, they had angered and upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had earned the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent by committing this evil, this immoral crime of theirs, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down three azabs upon them. فَأَخَذَتُمُ الصَّيْحَةُ مُشْرِكِينَ. First, a scream seized them in the morning. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala mentions, فَجَعَلْنَا عَالِهَا سَافِلَهَا. We raised that entire nation up, and we turned it around, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala crushed this nation to the ground. وَأَمْتَرْنَا عَلِيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِنْ سِجِّينَ. And thereafter, we rained down upon them boulders and rocks. Totally destroyed, totally wiped out the nation of Lut alayhi salam. Friends and elders, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This indecent, immoral act, Unfortunately, we are living in such a zamana, in such a time, where not only has it become a crime to speak out and speak against it in some countries of the world, but it is now being promoted and even being taught in our schools. May Allah Ta'ala protect us, may Allah Ta'ala protect our generations to come. It is something that we have to take very, very seriously. And we have to keep checking, especially if our children are going to schools wherein we suspect that it might be taught, to see that they do not become caught up in this. Quran is very, very clear about it. And it was an action that angered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala mentions, coming back to the ayat we're discussing, وَنَجِّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That we saved Ibrahim alayhi salam, we saved Lut alayhi salam, and Allah Ta'ala took them to this Ardul Mubarak, this blessed land, and this was the land of refuge, and Allah Ta'ala protected them from it. And together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talks about Sulaiman alayhi salam. وَلِسُلَيْمَانَ رِيحَ عَاصِفَةً تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا. That Allah Ta'ala had given Sulaiman alayhi salam control. Allah Ta'ala had given him a lot of control. Sulaiman alayhi salam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِي. That Allah bless me with a kingdom that nobody after me will have. So Allah Ta'ala had accepted the dua of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala had given him control of the wind. وَلِسُلَيْمَانَ الرِّيحَ غُدُوَا شَهْرٌ وَرَوَاهُوَا شَهْرٌ. That in the morning, in one stride, he could cover an entire day's journey. In the evening, one entire night's journey could cover by the control of the wind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him control of the jinnat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him control of the animal kingdom. So Allah Ta'ala had given Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala accepted the dua of Sulaiman alayhi salam. The second dua that Sulaiman alayhi salam had made was he requested from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Allah Rabbul Izzah to give him the ability to be fair when passing judgment. And there is also an incident recorded regarding this, that Dawud alayhi salam, who was the father of Sulaiman alayhi salam, once two disputants came to him and they requested Dawud alayhi salam to mediate in their matter. One farmer, he had sheep, the other farmer had crops. So the sheep went and destroyed the crops. So they came to Dawud alayhi salam. Dawud alayhi salam passed judgment that all the sheep should be given to the farmer that had the crops. So as they were leaving, Sulaiman alayhi salam was entering. And Sulaiman alayhi salam inquired regarding their matter. And this was, they mentioned to Sulaiman alayhi salam that this is the judgment that was passed. So Sulaiman alayhi salam replied that if I were to pass judgment, then I would have passed a judgment that was fair to both parties. So thereafter, when he goes to Dawud alayhi salam, he mentions to his father, obviously with a lot of respect, that if I were to pass judgment, I would have been fair to both parties. So Dawud alayhi salam inquires that how would you have mediated in this matter? So Sulaiman alayhi salam mentions that I would have asked the farmer with the sheep to work on the crops and tend to the farm and once again make it fruitful and prosperous. And whilst this is happening, the sheep were to be handed over to the other farmer and he can take benefit from it by utilizing their wool and the milk. And like that, both parties would be happy. So Dawud alayhi salam was very pleased and thereafter used the advice and the judgment of Sulaiman alayhi salam. So that was the second dua that Sulaiman alayhi salam made. And the third dua that Sulaiman alayhi salam made was regarding Masjid al-Aqsa, that whoever comes to Masjid al-Aqsa solely for the purpose of performing salah, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive his gunas and sins and return him and make him like the day his mother gave birth to him. So the first two duas were accepted. We do not know whether the third dua was accepted, but this was the dua of Sulaiman alayhi salam, and we have hope it was also accepted. So friends and elders, this is the land, this is the blessed land, which definitely we feel hurt and pain when we see the conditions that are happening and are taking place in this Mubarak land. So many times we hear this question, that how we can help them, what is our duty, what is our responsibility at this moment and time when we see what is happening. So for this, the solution, our first solution is to go back to the Quran and Majid. And what made Masjid al-Aqsa, what is Masjid al-Aqsa? That the journey of Mi'raj, wherein Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Masjid al-Aqsa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the gift The solution for every problem of this ummah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, that to resort back to salah, to seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from salah, to seek directly, exercise patience and resort to salah. Many, many times in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when any difficulty, when any hardship came, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resorted to salah. Inna Allaha ma'a as-sabirin. Exercise patience and turn to salah. And secondly, to bring about sunnah in our lives. Many a times on the occasion of Ashura, we hear the hadith regarding the fasting of Ashura, that Khaliful Yahud, do not be like the Yahud, oppose them. Oppose them in what? Oppose them in an act of ibadat. So that is why we are encouraged to keep one fast before and one fast after. Why? So we do not be like the Yahud in an act of ibadat. Now friends and elders, if we do not, we are advised and we are ordered and instructed to oppose the Yahud in acts of ibadat, how much more we have to not be like them in their other ways of life. So herein, in this condition, we need to resort and turn back to the akhlaq and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unfortunately today, we curse the Yahud, we speak ill about them, we speak bad about them, and thereafter we do everything that is like them. In every way of our life, in their entertainment, in their gatherings, how they do, we want to do like them. Our free time, how they spend their free time, that is how we are spending our free time. So we want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come to us. We need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with salah and going back to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Friends and elders, and on this note also, it is our plea that let us not do things. Many a times we hear this, that we need to create awareness about what is happening. But let us not do things that are against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last time this problem happened in Palestine, there was one incident where Muslims in our country went into a store, and a whole lot of them, perhaps it was 100 or maybe even more, they went into a store and they began taking goods that were from that country, and some of them destroyed it, some of them began loading their trolleys and joining queues, thereby preventing others from coming and shopping and causing a whole lot of difficulty and hardship to the store. Now this is not the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not the teachings of Islam. So we, whatever we are doing regarding this that is happening, let us ensure that it is done with accordance to the Sharia, in accordance to the Quran and Sunnah, and not to turn away from it. And we continue with that ayat. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. That definitely you are going to experience tests, halat, conditions are going to come upon you. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. There are different examples of tests, there are different examples of halat, there are different examples of conditions that will befall the ummah. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. There will be fear, there will be hunger, there will be poverty. A person will experience destruction in his wealth. A person will experience loss of life. This is mentioned in the Quran and Majid as a promise. These conditions will come upon you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that what is our duty at that time? وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That give glad tidings to those who exercise patience. Whenever any hardship or any difficulty befalls them, then they say that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To Allah ta'ala we belong and to Allah ta'ala we return. And in that same ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us consolation. And consolation to those who go through difficulty and hardship. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٌ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. We are witnessing the numbers rising, many, many passing away, young babies, women becoming widow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٌ. That do not refer to those that gave their life for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that became shaheed as dead. No. بَلْ أَحْيَاءُ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Rather they are alive by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mufassirin mentioned that Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Christian. What is meant by bal ahya'u wa lakin la tash'urun? There are two riwayat. One riwayat mentions that the soul of a shaheed is placed in the stomach of a green bird. And this bird is holding onto a lantern which is suspended beneath the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter this bird roams about in Jannat freely and enjoys all the bounties of Jannat. And thereafter this bird returns back to this lantern which is beneath the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala inquires from this ruh, from the soul of the shaheed, that is there any other request that you have? So this shaheed, this ruh will reply, that, oh Allah, you have given us so many bounties. We are enjoying all the bounties of Jannat. We are able to eat freely and enjoy whatever other bounties that are present in Jannat. We cannot ask for anything more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will once again ask the second time and the third time. And the same answer will be given. And thereafter, the shaheed will give one request. And what is the request of the shaheed? That, oh my Allah, return us back to this world. Return us back to this world. Why? Why come back to this world? So that we may be given the opportunity of attaining shahadat once again and giving our life once again and earning the lofty maqam and status which Allah's Father has given them. Friends and elders, those are the people of that land. Allah Ta'ala has made their dunya difficult, but Allah Ta'ala has made the road to their akhirat easy for them. And Allah Ta'ala has made their dunya a place of hardship and turmoil, but they have earned their place in the akhirat. Friends and elders, if anything, let us also take lesson from this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made our dunya easy for us. We are enjoying so many bounties. We are enjoying so many ni'mats. In fact, there are very, very few countries in the world wherein Muslims, despite us being such a minority, but there are very, very few countries in the world that enjoy such bounties and such ni'mats as we in this country enjoy. We are able to come and perform salah. We are able to do whatever act of ibadat we wish, with the exception of the regulations that have come about in the past year. Prior to this, we could do whatever we wanted to, and there was no obstacles against us. Look at the countries of the world. They do not enjoy these bounties and ni'mats. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been kind to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made our dunya easy for us. Friends and elders, we also can make our road to akhirat easy for us. We do not have that opportunity of giving our life for shahadat like how those have given. But Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَالْمُجَاهِدُ مَنْ جَاهَدَ نَفْسَهُ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. We can also make a jihad. And what is our jihad? To leave our pleasure, to leave our enjoyment in preference for the enjoyment and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make this qurbani and sacrifice, that to overlook our passions and desires and to place ourselves and make a jihad fi ta'atillah, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity that we have these various ni'mats. We have just passed this Mubarak month of Ramadan. And alhamdulillah, we had seen that the masajid were full. Many a time they had to make announcements that there is space available in this corner. And if you cannot find space in the masjid, then go upstairs or go downstairs. So friends and elders, we are not a ritualistic ummat. Our heart has to belong to the masjid. Our life has to belong to the masjid. We are an ummat of the masjid. We need to attach ourselves to the masjid. Ramadan was not such that we place a pause on our previous lives, and after the month of Ramadan, now we go back to our evil and our sinning, and whatever other gunas that we are involved in. No, Ramadan was an opportunity for us to wipe out, to erase, to delete all the wrongs in our lives, so that we continue with the good that we did in the Ramadan throughout the year and after the month of Ramadan. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for our Muslim brothers and sisters that are suffering in Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open a way out for them and return Masjid al-Aqsa back to the hands of the believers. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.